Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your host, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are doing great today on this magnificent Wednesday. And how are you doing today, Deb?
You know, Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, but what's crazy to me is I have a couple of stories that blow my mind so much that I really don't even know what to say about them because they're so absolutely awful. And I mean, I don't even know what to say. The first one I'm going to start with is this. It's this little brat kid who needs to be taken outside and have a doggone redwood put to him, a 14-year-old, and it's up in Atlanta. And I don't know if his parents are gay, if he's being raised by lesbians, or if the school system has done this to him. I don't know. But he basically wrote a poem about white privilege and how he had become aware of white privilege this year in school. And it's just, I was going to play it for you guys. I was going to play about a minute of it. But he's in front of the whole school with a bunch of kids, and he starts using the F word, you know, the real F word, you know, not the fun word, but the real F word, over and over and over again in the middle of this indoctrination. And he starts off the poem, this little brat, by apologizing to blacks, to Hispanics, to Indians, to pretty much every ethnic group, including females, for male white privilege. And and the problem is, this kid's being serious, and he won an award, and he's being currently praised by the Social Justice Warriors for his white boy privilege slam poem. The student, his name is Royce Mann, was awarded first place for the effort during a recent contest at the PAIDEIA school, however you want to pronounce that, PAIDEIA. Mann uploaded the video to YouTube recently after his school was forced to pull the video in May over negative feedback. In the nearly four-minute rant, this little brat bizarrely attempts to apologize to minorities for making gross generalizations and assumptions that they are automatically oppressed and incapable at birth. And then he goes, I've started my life on top of the white ladder. This kid needs to be in a karate ring and put a set of gloves on him. A man continues by claiming that all women are oppressed because they have to wear makeup. And it goes on about how white people never been poor. I mean, gosh, he obviously is just completely probably got wealthy parents. And he goes, I love it because I can worry about what kind of, I don't have to worry about what kind of my food is on my plate. And he's that black people have any money for food. He's a little racist. And he's a nightmare on top of everything else. I mean, he says that minorities can't eat at a fancy restaurant without the staff expecting them to steal the silverware. I mean, you know, he goes, I don't care if you think that the feminists are taking over the world and that Black Lives Matter movement has gotten too strong because all that's BS, he says. He concludes the poem by telling his fellow white boys to act like women. Okay? So I don't know if he's going to go gay. If he is gay, I don't know what the little brat's doing. But guys, this has gotten huge, huge internet response. And this is the end of our country as we know it because of this political correctness that's being taught right now in the school systems. I know I had my sons, my younger son, Harrison, and my two daughters at All Saints School in Winter Haven years ago. And they've started bringing home all this political correct nonsense. And I was constantly having to unscramble the mess they were making. They'd start doing, for Christmas, we were doing Kwanzaa and Hanukkah. This is a Christian, it's called All Saints, it's a Christian school. So we're celebrating Hanukkah and we're celebrating Kwanzaa in a Christian school. They won't put Merry Christmas outside, they put Happy Holidays because they have two or three Muslim students and one Jewish kid there. And I finally called the general head guy up, the headmaster, and I said, what are you doing, dude? He said, well, we got a couple of Muslims and one little Jewish boy. And I said, well, why don't you go send the boys over to, why don't we go to the local synagogue school and tell them they have to start putting, you know, start celebrating Christmas? Or why don't we go over to the Kwanzaa thing? That's the black kind of thing for Christmas. And I said, and try to figure that out. And why are we celebrating this Muslim stuff? I said, this is a Christian school. And of course, within a year or two, I pulled them out of that primarily because of that. Back in 2008, I think it was their last year. But guys, I mean, think about this for a second. We're teaching these kids to apologize for being white, apologize for being male, Okay, here's the newsflash. This is the same crap they did to Germany after World War II. This is the George Soros Nazi Rothschild propaganda BS is all this is, okay? They want to make you as a white person, if you're white and you're listening to this show today, feel like you're subpar, that you did something wrong. I got a newsflash for you. My family never owned any slaves. All right. I mean, we had our own problems we had were dealing with over there in Europe, right? My family never owned slaves in the United States. And in Germany right now, the people that are alive, 95% of them never, you know, Sieg Heiled Adolf Hitler. All right. So, but Germany is being made to pay and pay and pay and pay with political correctness through the boob tube by basically being brainwashed by this alpha brainwave stuff and these theta brainwaves, by listening to this stuff over and over and over and over again. Guys, Hitler was a bad dude. I gotta give you that, okay? He killed a lot of people. Truth is, Stalin killed a lot more. And Stalin was our ally. And he got half of Europe as a prize at the end of the war. Are you joking me? Let's quit doing this political correct nonsense and look at what's going on. I mean, Austin, what do you think about this little 14-year-old punk brat getting all this YouTube notoriety now because he apologizes for being white? And Intel says we need to act like women.
Well, the sad part about it is this is a large percentage of our generation now is being indoctrinated into thinking that this is an acceptable ideology. This is something that they need to embrace, and basically they need to be sorry and ask for forgiveness for being born this way, when nobody has any type of chance, any type of control, any type of leverage on how you're born. It's just genetic roll of the dice. I mean, you're you, you're only one like you, and that's the way it is. So sitting there saying, well, I was born to this family, or I was born to that family, or I was born in this country, or I was born in another country, and then turning around and apologizing for it is just ludicrous. It's absolute insanity. And the fact that he's actually getting publicity for it is even more embarrassing to me, the fact that people are actually supporting this type of behavior. Like you said, for him to tell white boys they need to start acting like little girls, I mean, that's probably the most offensive aspect of that entire thing, is if he feels like he needs to apologize for something, then he's the idiot that needs to go ahead and do that. But to sit there and encourage other white males that they need to act like females because we need to be apologetic for being born the way we are is an absolute total joke. So I hope really a large percentage of the people that see that don't take that seriously. And the issue that we're seeing now is stuff like this is causing more of a racial divide. I have friends from every ethnicity. When people start acting like this and they start singling out and putting out this behavior, all it does is cause people to be more racially motivated as far as with anger and hatred, because you have all these different segments now that are like, why agree with him? Why don't agree with him? Why hate him? Why love him? So all it does is create more anger and hatred, which we don't need. It's interesting to me. I saw this article today. This rapper named Hop Sin, who basically he's a rapper and record producer. I don't know much about him. I saw in the article. He went on a barrage. He's a black male. He's a black rapper. He went on a barrage about Black Lives Matter. And he said they're absolutely doing nothing positive for racial relations. They're doing nothing positive for the black movement. All they're doing is creating more just strife between everybody. He went and said on here, he said, you need to be a good person. He said, I love all races. He said, our Black Lives argument is so contradicting right now. He said, we can't expect anyone to respect us unless we respect ourselves first. Life doesn't work like that. And this is his quote right here. He said, let's be real. He said, it doesn't matter to a lot of blacks what happens. Now all of a sudden, Black Lives Matter when somebody gets killed by a cop. And he goes into detail about how in Chicago in one weekend, there were 40 deaths of black on blacks with gang-related violence, and nobody said one single thing from Black Lives Matter. Nobody protested. Nobody even lifted a finger to help anybody. It was just business as usual that type of behavior is okay. But when one individual has something happen and a police officer does or doesn't make a mistake, and if someone ends up dying, which is a tragedy, it's not something I support, we have these people now that are literally acting like complete and total idiots all across the board. We have these white people that are supporting Black Lives Matter. There's blacks, there's Hispanics. I mean, Harrison showed me a video today over, I think, in Minneapolis, another one in Missouri. these whole group of white individuals that they call themselves non-black, supporting for Black Lives Matter, they ran out into the middle of the intersection on both incoming and outgoing traffic and blocked down interstate commerce and traffic for over 20 minutes until the state troopers got there. They linked hands and blocked the entire road again. We've seen this happen numerous times. I hate to tell you, but if that's the type of behavior you really think is going to get people's attention to help them convert positively to your movement, you're a blithering idiot, and you need to go to a psych ward. Stopping somebody on the interstate and blocking tens of thousands of vehicles for over 20 minutes isn't going to get anybody to support you, nor is it going to get anybody to give you any positive attention. All it's going to do is promote more hatred, more race hatred, more division against everything you're trying to promote. So I really don't understand why these individuals think this is the type of behavior they need to elicit in order to make change. It doesn't make any sense to me. I really don't understand it all. So I'm really trying to get a handle on it, but I'm having a very difficult time with it right now.
Well, the problem we have is because of the brainwashing that's going on. It's
mm-hmm.
the TV, it's
yeah.
the rappers, it's Hollywood, it's the movies, it's the Rothschilds that are running all of this mess. I'm going to cover a story with you real quick. This is so important that you guys get this. But before I do the story, I want to say one more thing. I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, Indian, Chinese, Russian. I don't care what you are. Be proud of who you are.
Yep.
If I say I'm proud that I'm white, if I was black, I'd say I'm proud that I'm black. But guys, listen to me. You know, unbridled hatred towards another group or ethnicity because they're a different color than you or a different race than you is stupid. I mean, all these Mexicans now are hating all of these white people, and all the blacks are hating the white people again. And Obama says the other day on his little speech there in Dallas about how great the race relations are in the United States now. And I'm like, you blithering idiot. You have made the race relations worse in the United States than they've been in the last 50 years. And it's all done on purpose because of Cloward and Piven.
Yep.
But let me share this with you. This is an article that was, I just read it today, and it's on the Diebold election fraud. And this is by Gordon Duff. And this guy's absolutely brilliant. And the name of the website is the New Eastern Outlook. It's N-E-O, Neo, like you get on the, Neo was on the Matrix movies, Neo. So you guys can remember that and cue in on that. New Eastern Outlook. And this is 12, he wrote this, 7/12, yeah, so this is, he wrote it July the 12th, he just wrote it, okay? And it says, America, the most dangerous dictatorship. And it goes on to say that during the Clinton years, powerful Nazi-inspired elements. Now, what people need to understand here, let me break from the article for a second. And Jim Mars talked about this in the Fourth Reich. Literally in today's money, trillions and trillions of dollars that Germany had stolen or acquired, whichever, what do you want to call it, from these countries that they had invaded, was sent and bought huge amounts of stock and control of huge areas of the world. Okay, it was going to continue, the Nazis wanted to continue to keep their dialogue and their message going, but they wanted to do it after Germany had fallen through money. During the Clinton years, powerful Nazi-inspired elements in America plotted what has been the successful overthrow of the American Constitution. I'm going to read why he says this. The movement was led by the rogue industrialist John Mellon Scaife and lawyers Antonio Scalia and Newt Gingrich. Now, financing all of them was the Rothschild-owned and controlled Federal Reserve Corporation. Every time you dig under a rock, and I'm going to tell you this, guys, every stinking time I've done the research and I've dug and I've dug and I've dug and I keep finding out, okay, who are these people, it always boils back to these international banking cartels, these Satan group, this Rothschild group. He goes on to say, a secret society hidden in plain sight was set up called the Federalist Society. This Nazi-controlled group, backed by a powerful Israeli lobby, moved into every law school in America, recruiting top candidates based on skill sets needed. The program was devised, here we go, by the CIA and recruited thousands of budding sociopathic personality types, recruiting them into the Federalist Society and channeling them into top law firms and or government agencies. Adding to these recruits were senior lawyers with ties to organized crime, there we go, back to the mafia again, and corporate crime. Thousands of them to major CIA operations. They were there they pushed forward, and after a decade ran the U.S. Department of Justice, nearly every court in the nation, controlled the law schools, controlled the bar. The FBI had put over 150 of their members into the Congress of the United States. I'm going to repeat that. The FBI had put 150 members into the Congress of the United States. They also controlled every regulatory agency, environment, banking, finance, food and safety, drug, everything. Now remember, this is all being done by the Rothschilds, so the Rothschilds are doing all of this. They also controlled five justices of the Supreme Court. During the Clinton administration, they managed to temporarily get a hold, get control of the U.S. House of Representatives through the help of the contract with America with Newt Gingrich, financed by the Zionist black propaganda money man, Rupert Murdoch. In payment for this, Newt gave Murdoch an American broadcast company, Fox, though illegal. You see, non-Americans can't control networks, or couldn't. That's okay, because Gingrich eventually gave Murdoch citizenship as well. Murdoch only had to publish Newt's useless books and give his wife, and Newt traded them in with regularity, a highly paid, do-nothing job as a bride. Okay. Then it goes into the Ken Starr mess and what happened with everything else. Then the deal came to life in 2000. You guys read this on your own. The CIA and the Diebold Corporation had contracted with a computer guru named Michael Connell, who developed software that could flip votes on electronic voting machines. Targeted would be the states of only Ohio, Florida, and Virginia, piling up votes in key precincts just enough to guarantee the control of the Electoral College. Without this, it is impossible for the Republican Party to get a president elected without staging an international incident such as the kidnapping of U.S. diplomats in Tehran. And then he goes on to say, we're not going to say the Ayatollah was an MI6 agent, and he was sent to Iran for exactly this purpose, even though this is true, we can prove it. So I guess he did say it. In 2000, even with millions of votes flipped, exit polls support Bush losing by 5 million votes. The election couldn't be saved. Here the Federalists stepped in and had their five Supreme Court justices step in and overthrow both the areas of equal protection and states' rights of the Constitution to put Bush in the office. 2000 was important. This was the presidential election that took place in a census year. You see, a census is a rationale for redistricting the U.S. House of Representatives using state legislatures, which are largely controlled by the Federalist Society. Bribes and payoffs at a state level are hard to control, and organized crime easily got control of enough states to allow redistricting. And the CIA got back involved in all this. By 2004, he goes on to say, there were no more free elections in the House of Representatives, giving the House free reign to investigate anyone and to quell any investigation such as 9/11. By 2005, the 5-4 vote Supreme Court in the Citizens of the United States case overturned all time limitations on foreign and corporate spending on American elections, citing an end to the democracy in America. Now we're controlled by foreign governments. Michael McConnell, the man who basically was the GOP guru who did the voting machine vote flipping, he died in a mysterious plane crash in Ohio just before testifying about his role in the CIA vote flipping scandal. So this is an interesting article. So it pretty much tells you that the rogue elements of the Nazis, this would be the Prescott Bush group, and it goes on to say in some of the other articles that Prescott Bush, you know, he was the Hitler's finance guy, and that H. Bush, the old Bush, is probably the most powerful man in the world now, working through this organized crime syndicate of the Rothschild banking empire. So I want to kind of let you guys, I want to read that for you. Remember, it's the New Eastern Outlook, and the name of the article is America, the World's Most Dangerous Dictatorship. Read through this. And now they want to put Newt Gingrich, who was in the middle of all of this with his contract for America back in the 90s, in as vice president of the United States, because they have to have this globalist in the event that they want to basically eliminate Trump. And if they eliminate Trump, then Gingrich will be back in. That's probably going to be better for them than even having Hillary in. So what do you think about that, Austin? Is that nuts?
It is. I mean, we know a lot of that from what we've read and stuff over the years, but it's really crazy when you start seeing it. Like we said before, it's a giant octopus. All this stuff is interconnected.
From the Rothschild banking cartel.
Yep.
Again, guys, you know, see, folks have to understand, if you're just tuning in for the show for the first time today, you know, I don't play this game with this political correct nonsense. If these guys are doing this stuff, I'm calling them out on it. I'm not going to say, oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to call it out. So if you guys you know, and a lot of the other show hosts won't do that. Okay, they cow down to some of these issues. They back out because they don't want to be called names or whatever. I don't care. I'm to the point in my life, I'm 60 years old, you know, I don't care. I just don't care anymore. I'm going to tell you guys the truth. And I've had so many people send these emails to me, you know, we trust you totally, you know, we know that you guys are telling the truth. And there's a reason for that, because we tell you the truth. I mean, I'm the one I'm here, and I mean, we have a huge vitamin company. We, you know, we sell supplements all over the world, and I tell you, don't buy calcium supplements if you're a guy, and only if you can't drink milk if you're a woman, and then only the right kind of calcium. And don't use calcium for products that contain calcium carbonate. I mean, nobody else I know does that who sells supplements. They don't want you to know that. I don't want you to have a heart attack. Okay, that causes heart disease. So I'm the one here telling you the truth. I told you back in the 80s and the 90s about aspartame, about sodium nitrite, about trihalo oil. It's when you mix a chlorine together with organic compounds, you create what are called trihalomethanes, and how you can be in a shower and you inhale as many trihalomethanes as if you drunk 8 glasses of contaminated water. So that's why you have to have shower filters. I've told you the story. I've told you all of it. I've told you about the pork, the shellfish, the margarine, the trans fats, the aspartame, the junk food, the ADD, the autism, the chlorine, the fluoride, the sugar, the soy products, how coffee causes elevated cortisol, and how bad alcohol and wine is for you. I've done all of this for the past 35, 40 years, and when I first started talking about all of this stuff, because I had seen it in my clinic, people were telling me that I was nuts and I had no idea what I was talking about. I've been called every name on the planet when it comes to health because they didn't want to believe me. But yet now here I am, 60 years old, and things that I was telling you back in when I was 25 years old are true. And now finally they're going, well, yeah, this is true. That's what we pride ourselves on, if pride's okay with that, of telling you guys the truth. It's not an arrogant kind of pride. It's not a cocky kind of pride. Like, it's not one of those Muhammad Ali kind of pride. It's one of those things that, hey, look, God said let your yea be nay and your nay be nay, and just tell the truth. Do what's right in God's eyes. I mean, guys, I have a higher accountability here. I mean, I've got to answer to God. I pray to God every single day. I mean, the Almighty and I, we've got a pretty good relationship. I mean, every day we have a talk, and it's with my family. And I'm not going to go around lying to you guys and telling you stuff that I want you to hear that's not true. I'm not going to do that. There's no brainwashing occurring on this show. There's none of that subliminal nonsense going on here. And this is not an infomercial for my company. I'm not going to do that either, because that insults you as a listener. It insults you. I know guys are on the radio, my gosh, they're on for 37 minutes. That's all they have with the doggone media that they're on. And 20 minutes of the 37 minutes, they're doing infomercials. I'm not going to do that. You guys know we're healthmasters.com. You know we've got a free newsletter. You know we sell supplements. I've asked you to buy your multiple vitamins from us. That's the end of my big infomercial. Or I'll say, well, we have something on sale or whatever every once in a while. But I don't do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, because these other guys that do this constantly with all this advertising, I can't even listen to their shows anymore, because it's just a giant, giant infomercial. It's just awful. Anyhow, I'm sorry I went on that rant, Austin. Go ahead and what's your next story, bud?
Yeah, bud. Well, this is interesting. Now we see more and more with the police state creeping in, with insurance companies, with these self-driving cars, with the police license plate scanners. All this stuff is coming together, and I've talked about it repeatedly for, you know, since we've been on the show. So our main listeners already know a lot of this. But this is interesting now. Big Brother, you know, big government, and auto insurance companies now have devised a devious new way to encourage Americans to spy on each other. They're offering motorists an insurance discount if they purchase and install an insurance-monitored dash cam in their own vehicle. New York Assembly member Senator Jose Pretella has brought in a bill now that would give New York drivers a 5% auto insurance discount for having a dash cam installed in their car by their insurance company. Now, it's interesting about this, and I don't have a bit of problem with a personally used dash cam. That's your right. Quite frankly, in Europe, they do that a lot. In Russia, they have their own personal dash cams because they get in accidents all the time, so they can have video evidence of, you know, this guy hit me, I hit him, whatever. But what these guys are wanting to do now is they want to do it so that the police, the insurance companies, all these places can use it immediately as evidence. But my question is, what do they want these dash cams for? Okay, there's a significant accident. Okay, there's a fatality with an accident. Maybe they can solve an issue with that. But that seems to be an awfully small amount of incidences to to start and require this. But my personal opinion is they want to start doing this so they can identify drivers and basically, again, write you tickets on stuff that they monitor and see. Oh, you cut this individual off. We have dash cam evidence from this such and such vehicle. Oh, you had bad driving habits. We see that you tailgated or you changed lanes without this or you ran a red light. We're basically going to raise your rate. Now, AAA's even on it, and they're saying we need more data. We need dash cams. We need to be able to quantify it better as to whether a discount at all would be merited. That's what AAA spokesperson Robert Sinclair explained when talking about dash cams. So this is something that I found interesting, and I just want to kind of bring it up because, you know, if you got your own personal dash cam, good for you. That's great. That's fantastic. But allowing an outside company to control and monitor and put a dash cam in for a small discount on your auto insurance, no way, guys. If you start seeing that offered, that needs to be something you run away from in the opposite direction, because that is just another giant just aspect of Big Brother trying to come in and watch and monitor and police every single thing we do. So I just want to give everybody a heads up on that.
Well, absolutely, I agree with you 100%. Here's the interesting. Here's another article. By the way, there was a big riot in Berlin earlier this week. Thousands and thousands of people rioting against police officers in Berlin. So this mayhem that we're having in the United States, induced by Soros and the Rothschild gang, it's not just here. It's all over the world. Here's an interesting article that Michael Schneider wrote. I like Schneider. I had him on the Power Hour when I was guest hosting that. War on the streets of America. Protesters attack police officers in major cities all over the nation. It's that Black Lives Soros nonsense again. This is what a nation looks like when it starts melting down from within. A series of very disturbing incidents of brutality against young black males has caused a firestorm to erupt all across the country. You would have thought the massacre of police in Dallas would have caused everybody to step back and reflect on what's really causing the cycle of violence. But instead, the nationwide protests have got even bigger and more intense. Over the weekend, protesters attacked police with rocks, bricks, bottles, fireworks, chunks of concrete, Molotov cocktails, and rebar from a construction site. In return, police fired pepper spray, smoke bombs, and tear gas at protesters. As I write this, as Schneider writing this, more than 200 protesters have been arrested over the weekend so far, and authorities are bracing for what the upcoming night may bring. For so long, I've been specifically warning this kind of civil unrest was coming, but truly I wish that I had been wrong. So, I mean, guys, he's right. Schneider's calling this out, and this is all over the country. I could read this article to you, but it's just long. I mean, he's listing all of these articles that happen. His name of the article is War on the Streets of America, Protesters Attack Police Officers in Major Cities All Over the Nation, posted by Michael Schneider. You guys can look it up and read it. Guys, this is the end of the Republic in slow motion, but of course the Republic was hijacked by the Rothschild boys in 1913 and basically taken over by them in 1933 and 1934 with the Exchange Stability Fund. And this is how they control us. And guys, if you read the book of Revelation and you think that book is happy, no, man, it's not happy. And see, and Christians want to believe in the rapture. And quite frankly, the rapture is a really nice thing to believe in, but it gives the Christians a huge, huge way out without having to accept any responsibility. It gives weak-willed Christians the ability to believe that nothing bad is going to ever happen to them or their family because God's going to yank them out, so they don't have to do any kind of prepping or they don't have to be involved socially. This, again, is that doctrine that was brought by the Scofield Bible, financed by the Rothschild cartel. I mean, surprise, okay, back in the 1850s, which was pushed into the major theological seminaries throughout the United States, primarily the Southern Baptists. And they've been teaching the Scofield Bible now for 150 years, and they've been teaching everybody that this thing is we're going to just get raptured out. Okay, well, guys, listen to me. The 500,000 Christians that were in Dresden, Germany, in February of 1945 that were killed by bombs and incendiaries, I got a news flash for you. They didn't get raptured out. They got melted into the sidewalks, okay? The millions and millions of Russians that were killed by Stalin, and all of the horrible things that happened to these folks in these concentration camps, and all of the stuff that happened to the United States during the Civil War. Nobody got raptured. You know, this is a concept that has been basically taught to us that is not even biblically accurate. It's not. Now, Do I really believe that we could have a mid-trib or a post-trib rapture? Absolutely yes. But as far as us getting yanked out of here before anything bad happens, you can guarantee you, I can guarantee you, that is not going to happen. Mid-trib, might. Post-trib, might. Pre-trib, no way. No way. God's going to protect us through that, because he says in the Word, if these end days were not cut short, even the elect would not survive. Well, you know, newsflash, we're the elect. We're the chosen ones of God. Now, I believe there's going to be all kinds of miracles that are going to take place, and we're going to be divinely protected. But guys, listen to me. Store up some food. You know, go to Health Masters. We got food without pork and MSG in it, man, and without hydrogenated oils. I mean, store up some ammunition. Find yourself, get yourself a good distillation system. I get you a few solar panels. So do whatever you need to do. But find a way to at least be able to have you and your family survive for 4 or 5 months or whatever you need with water and food. That's really, really important. You say, well, I can't afford that much. Okay, then do it for a month, because that's how they're going to eventually get us to go willingly into these camps, is they're going to tell us they have food and water for us. And we're just going to say, oh, okay, great, we're hungry and we're thirsty, so let's go. And you'll automatically be disarmed before you go there. When they folks went into these German concentration camps, they were like stripped down and deloused, okay? So, I mean, so guys, listen to me. It's going to be bad if it goes to that level, but it's already happened once in the last century, and it's happened many more times than that in Russia. So, guys, please don't be that person who says nothing bad is ever going to happen to me or my family. Now, we can believe God, we can pray God, we can control this holographic representation of what we're in pretty thoroughly. But if these bad boys start dropping bombs all over the place, then we're going to have to believe in God's divine, miraculous protection to protect us, which I believe he can do that. But as far as us getting yanked out in the first load and not having experienced any of this stuff, no. Us being protected, absolutely yes. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think you're accurate about that. That's always been a pretty big concept that a lot of people get confused on, and I think it's a great idea. But as you just pointed out, that's not something that I think is even biblically accurate. Just for the fact that, you know, that if, here's my question always, that is, if that's the ideology behind it, if, say, every Christian gets yanked out at the beginning before anything bad happens, who's going to be here to witness? Who's going to get other people saved and try to bring them closer to Christ and try and bring, isn't that the overall goal, is to get people saved? So if we all just happen to get raptured out at one time because nothing bad's going to happen to us, who's going to be here to try and get anybody else saved? Who's going to support the church? Who's going to try and keep that going? That's my thing about it. So, you know, to say that is almost negligent on Christians' parts that they even believe that's a good idea, because that's what we're going to be here to do, is to basically support one another, support Christians, and try and give people the gospel and the word about what they need to do in the end times and who they need to have faith and trust in and who they need to look to. And that's God Almighty. That's Yahweh.
That's right. That's right.
Not being raptured up and having nothing bad happen to them and getting to avoid all that. I mean, go read the Bible and read about Paul. If you think nothing bad's going to happen to you, read about the disciples. I mean, that's what they died for. I mean, and that's exactly what we're here to do, is spread the word and get others saved and closer to Christ. Not get raptured out before we get a cut or a bruise on us from the tribulation. So I think you're completely accurate about that, bud.
Let me read you a couple quotes on this, too. I sent these out the other day. I thought they were pretty good. And I'm pulling them up on one of my texts here. And it was interesting. Here he is. This guy's name's Leonard Ravenhill. I don't know the guy. So if he's a bad guy, you let me know later. But, you know, here's some of the stuff he says. A popular evangelist reaches your emotions. A true prophet will reach your conscience. Wow. What good does it do to speak in tongues on Sunday if you have been using your tongue during the week to curse and to gossip and blaspheme other people? Why do we expect to be treated better in this world than Jesus was treated? Today's church wants to be raptured from responsibility. Our seminaries today are turning out dead men. How can you pull down strongholds of Satan if you don't even have the strength to turn off your own TV? If a Christian is not having tribulation in the world, there's something wrong. Now, I'm going to fix that one in just a second. Many pastors criticize me for taking the gospel so seriously, but do they really think that on Judgment Day, Christ will chastise me saying, Leonard, you took me too seriously? I like that one. Now, here's a tribulation in this world. Here's something else. He's talking about the actual tribulation, you know, of what could happen in the end times. That's what he's talking about. But again, guys, we have the ability, because of prayer, to to change the physical fabric of time-space. See, we have to understand that we have that ability through prayer. You know, I saw that very clearly a month ago when Austin was so sick in the hospital, and I just laid hands on him and started praying right there in the middle of the emergency room out loud. They all thought I was nuts. I don't really care. And that's how I did it, you know. But Austin had a miraculous recovery. Plus, we had people all over the place praying for him when he was, you know, diagnosed with having a pericardial-induced heart attack. Now, here's the crazy thing about all of this. Here we are a month later. Austin's back on the radio show, pretty much back up to 100%. You know, it's like a miracle. It is a miracle. So here's the thing, guys. God doesn't expect you to be powerless in these end times. He's given you the power of the word of prayer. These are scalar waves, and we've talked about that in depth before and how powerful prayer is. And when you're in covenant with God Almighty, how these prayers get answered, and they get answered very, very, very quickly. But guys, a lot of times people don't get their prayers answered. You got to remember, you've got to build a relationship with God. I mean, he's kind of got this whole planet kind of like on cruise control, so to speak, you know, and Lucifer's running around down here with his buddies, you know, trying everything they can through the Rothschild boys to kind of tie everything up and destroy this whole thing to bring about this whole satanic agenda. You know, so if God doesn't know who you are because you never call him unless you need, you know, money from him. Okay, this is kind of like, you know, you got friends that you never hear from, right? That you don't ever hear from them. You went to high school with them. And all of a sudden, they call you up 20 years out of high school, and they said, "Hey, Ted, good talking to you, man. I need to borrow $100. And you're like, "Dude, I haven't talked to you in 20 years. Why do you want me to borrow and give you $100? "Well, I just need some money, man. Can you make it $1,000? And I'm like, "Dude, go away. I don't even know you, man. You know, I'll pray for you. I'm good. But, you know, I'm not going to intervene in their lives and start handing out cash." I had that happen years ago. I had a kid that my brother had that I didn't even know about. And this is, you know, my brother who's the alcoholic contacted me and, you know, and wanted to build some type of family relationship with our part of the family. And I said, "Sure, you know, you're blood to us. We're good. Let's just hang out a little bit, you know, and do stuff." And shoot, the second time he talked to me, he wanted me to give him money. "Just give him money." And finally I told him, I said, "I don't even know you. I talked to you one time. I said, why am I going to give you money? You're a total stranger to me." See, that's the problem with prayer. If God doesn't know who you are when you're calling to heaven and he doesn't know who you are and you don't have a relationship with him, you know, you may just get stuck on the back burner for a bit. You know, when someone calls up God and says, "Hey, God, I got this issue going on right now. Can you help me?" Boom, snap it done. If they've got that friendship relationship, that awe relationship of Yahweh, of Jesus, the covenant, and they know it and God knows them. It's like David had with God if you read the Psalms. I mean, it was all about his relationship with God. And that's what we have to have. It's not about stuff. It's about a relationship. God doesn't care if you've got stuff, if you've got a nice car or a nice house. He doesn't care about that. He just doesn't want that stuff to have you. He wants you to be led by the Holy Spirit and led by his leanings and led by his word. And he wants people to direct your paths of your life all the days of your life. But he wants you to be willing and obedient, because then you'll eat the fruit of the land, is what the word says. And see, that's the biggest problem. Christians don't build that relationship with God, and suddenly they're calling on him. He's going like, "Man, this must be a wrong number. I don't know who you are. I got a caller ID block going, bud." I said, "You know, you're saved, all right, but I haven't heard from you since you got saved. I mean, I got other things I'm working on right now. I'll get back with you." See, that's not the relationship you want with God. That's not it, okay? It's the prayer every single day. Reading the Word on a regular basis. My goodness, I've read the New Testament hundreds of times. I mean, hundreds of times. I mean, I don't know how many times. I've read through the entire Bible, front to back, multiple times. I've read the book of Proverbs hundreds, if not thousands of times. I mean, that's why when you have that Word living in you and something bad happens, you can stand there and say, "No, not by power, it's not by might, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord." And this stuff will come out of you automatically, so you know what to do. And see, and God loves that. Because he loves it when you have that relationship with him. You don't want to get a busy signal, guys, when you call heaven, or a caller ID block. You don't need that, all right? You got to have that relationship open with God. And so, yeah, that's what God wants us to have, Austin. What's your next story as I pontificate?
No, you're absolutely right. This is interesting now. The Campbell soup, remember, about earlier this year, they made major headlines because they were the first major food company in the world. Campbell's soup, the chunky noodle soup and all the other things they make, became the first company in the world to label their own products GMOs independently. Campbell's came out and said consumer appreciation is what goes into our, consumers appreciate what goes into our food, and they feel good about the choices they make. And so they, we go on to say here, he goes, we've declared our intention to set the standard for transparency in the food industry. Morrison wrote in Campbell's soup official press release. Now, and they said on here, after witnessing a lot of Monsanto-laden deals, Campbell's now has decided to withdraw any and all support from all efforts led by groups opposing mandatory, federally regulated GMO labeling, which means they are not going to support, they're not giving any money to anybody now that is trying to fight against the GMO labeling. They said, our decision was guided by our purpose, rooted in our customer-first mindset, and driven by our commitment to transparency, to be open and honest about our food. We do not believe that proposing a mandatory national solution is necessary. They say, excuse me, we now believe. And so what they go on to say in here is they want everybody to know what is in their food, and they're not supporting any company that doesn't. They said printing a clear and simply read statement on the label is the best solution for customers and for Campbell. So this is interesting now that they're now coming out even further and saying they're not supporting any companies that are trying to fight this GMO labeling bill, and they have it right on one of their cans. You can see it here. It says, partially produced with genetic engineering. For more information about GMO ingredients, visit. And then they got the website. I can't see the website on the can. But they're blatantly flat out putting it on the can, just like it's supposed to be done. So I have to give kudos to Campbell and give them basically standing applause that these guys are really trying to come out and do the best they can to label this stuff. Now, whether or not they're taking it out of their food, that's a different story. But they are labeling it on the labels, and they're really trying to get everybody else to support that as well. So I thought that was pretty cool, Deb.
That you're right. But, you know, here's the truth. And this is just a bottom line, you know, not trying to pull any punches on this deal. The vast majority, probably 70-80% of the population of the United States, if given their choice between buying a product that had GMOs in it or buying a product that was twice the price with no GMOs, are going to buy the cheaper one, period. And Campbell's knows that. That's why they're saying, we're going to tell you the truth, be done with it. You're going to buy our products anyhow, because we're not going to, you can go to the health food store and you can buy, instead of buying a 29 cent or a 99 cent can of soup, it's going to cost you $8. So have fun with the $8 can of soup. They know it. So they know their demographics. So they're not going to try to hide the game, play the game. So I got to give them kudos for doing this. Now here's another article just happened. Angry parents in Colombia, down in South America, shut down schools and they locked the gates in protest over HPV vaccine injuries. I'm going to read this right here. Today, when hundreds of children of Carmen de Bolivar were returned to classes after holiday, they found their schools were closed by groups of parents and girls who had been affected by the vaccine HPV Gardasil. This was in the Bolivarianist municipality. With the banners and padlocks, parents blocked the educational institution's demand that the government respond to more than 1,000 cases of HPV vaccine injuries, which, according to the associations of parents, had been presented in this municipality. I mean, this is what they're actually saying. Hey, we're not going to let you be here, and we're not going to let you kill these kids, and we're going to basically stop this mess. Because, again, it's using for massive, massive, massive causes of infertility. This by itself should be putting hundreds of people in prison for what they're doing with HPV and Gardasil. I'm not talking about chastising them, fining them. They should be in prison. This is that bad of a vaccine for the infertility that's going to cause. And they know it going in, and they know it doesn't work as far as protecting about HPV. Even the top scientist who helped develop this vaccine has come out publicly now and denounced the vaccine, saying it doesn't work. So, guys, listen to me. Please don't let your little girls get these shots. It's so, so important. What do you think, Oz?
No, yeah, I've gone over it in detail over and over and over again now about the deaths. He actually documented almost 50,000 serious adverse reactions that have been documented and actually filed, which we've talked about before. Generally, about 10% of true adverse conditions are ever reported. If you look at these true numbers, what we're seeing, we're probably close to 500,000 in the United States that have actually had significant adverse reactions.
That's right.
HPV vaccine. I saw an article the other day about a teenage boy who was actually given this vaccine for whatever reason, had massive inflammation in the brain and the joints to the point now, it's been just a year and a half since he had his vaccine, and he now has to use a wheelchair and use a cane for short distances. And he, this is the part that I loved when I read it. He goes back to the doctor now. He's gone through like six different doctors. They're trying to do all the stuff. They go back to another doctor, and then the doctor goes, well, we don't know what's the matter with it. It definitely has nothing to do with any vaccines or anything else he's done.
What?
We need to go ahead and give him his second dose of Gardasil now.
Make sure you poison him. There you go.
Yep, and guess what?
Oh,
right after the shot, about a week later, he got incredibly worse and had to be hospitalized again. And this is when basically his mother wrote the article, and she said, I now am 100% completely, basically convinced that this Gardasil vaccine is the direct culprit of this. Nobody can figure out what's wrong with him. His basically his body is decaying and shutting down. He's like 18 years old. I mean, he's a kid. The 18 years old. When you're 18 years old, you don't have nothing that shuts down on your body. I mean, if you're good and healthy and you're active, I mean, you're wide open when you're 18. And it really is saddening to see what's happening to girls and boys with this vaccine. So, no, absolutely not. I never recommend this vaccine. You guys can make your own opinion on it, but I will be flat out with you and say this is not one you need. This is not something like tetanus or any type of serious illness that's easily contracted. It's an STD that most of the time, in 90% of the cases, goes completely dormant and nothing ever happens with it. It's not something you can take the risk on and ruining your life or your children's life, if not actually causing death or great bodily harm. There is no way this is worth the risk. Teach your kids about being, you know, abstinent until they're married. Teach them about being, you know, good Christian kids and not being, you know, sexually perverts at a young age like a lot of kids are now. And that's what you need to do with it. But saying, oh, my kids are going to make their own decisions, so I'm just going to give them an HPV vaccine and make sure it covers it, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life when you're talking about the health and safety of your child. It's absolutely egregious when people act like this, especially with the research and all the studies and all the adverse conditions we've seen now in tens of thousands of people across the U.S., and now we're seeing it all across the globe, South America, all over the place now. People are protesting this vaccine. It's not something you need to use under any circumstances, in my opinion.
Well, again, it's part of the population control agenda.
Yep.
I mean, Bill Gates straight calls it out on this TED Talk. We're going to use vaccines to help control population. I mean, you can't, that's right out of the mouth of Mr. Lucifer himself, right? I mean, are you kidding me? This is what they do. All right, let me get off that topic. In the wake of South China Sea ruling, Beijing now unveils this new guided missile destroyer. Okay, stop here for a second. The only reason that the Chinese have silent shaft technology and guided missile technology that works is the Clinton administration gave it to them for money, period. That's it. Okay, this was back in the 90s. You guys can look it up. Silent shaft technology. It was leaked to them through Toshiba, and also the guided missiles. They couldn't get the missiles to get off the platform and do anything, so we gave them our chips and our computer software, Bill Clinton's organization did, in order to do this. You know, there's been some really stupid things that the United States has done, and you know, unless you understand the globalist mindset and why they do things like this, this is one of those stupid things. You give an enemy of the country, the, you know, China, who has huge import tariffs on everything coming out of the United States against us, you give them your guided missile technology, software, equipment, and hardware and chips. Are you like, well, that's right, he was smoking dope in the White House. Oh, that's right, he was doing all kinds of stuff in the White House, okay? But the problem is, guys, I mean, this is unbelievable. So, I mean, so that's why they have guided missile destroyers now. This is out of Sputnik News. On the same day that the Permanent Court of Arbitration in The Hague ruled against China's territorial claims, which they won't listen to anyhow, in the South Sea, Beijing has commissioned its fourth guided missile destroyer, thanks to the Clinton administration. The latest 052D destroyer was commissioned at the naval port in Sanya in the Henan province, roughly 150 meters long, with a 20-meter beam, big ship. The ship is one of China's most sophisticated vessels. According to the Chinese military, the ship can now outperform South Korea's great-class destroyers and the U.S. Navy's Burke-class destroyers. The unveiling comes directly after the Permanent Court of Arbitration ruled against Beijing in its dispute over territorial claims in the South Sea, responding to the Hague's decision. The Chinese Foreign Ministry said it does not accept the ruling as valid, which we knew they wouldn't, in regard to the award rendered on July 12th by the tribunal. So, guys, you can thank the Wicked Witch of Washington and the sexual deviant raper of women, Bill Clinton. You know, it's kind of like with Bill Cosby. Okay, I'm going to stop here for a second. Just kind of just go off on a little tear. Bill Cosby, I know him. He's a jerk, okay? He's a jerk. I met him back in the 90s. I told you the story before on the air. He's just the pits, all right? He's got a horrible personality in person. He's a total racist, awful person. This is Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby is worth, what, $400 million, $500 million? Back in the 90s, he was even trying to take over NBC. And that's one of the reasons they say his son was murdered. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what I've heard. That's what I've read multiple different places. Now, what's interesting about this is, it's Bill Cosby. He can go, we know he's not a, we know he's not saved because he likes to, he's the raper of women. So we know he's not saved. All right. So if he's not saved, and he's got billions or millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, the boy can go out, find all the women he wants that are a bunch of prostitutes out there in Las Vegas. And then go pay himself $5,000 a night for a hooker, and they have to rape or kill anybody or hurt anybody. But that's not what these guys do. This is about the power. This is about forcing people to submit to your will from the opposite sex. That's what Bill Clinton does. You know, Cosby does it by just basically giving them date rape drugs, which he's admitted to. Right? Now he's got all these lawsuits against him. Clinton has raped so many women, we've lost count. He said that he's had sex with over 2,000 women. We want this pervert, this sexual deviant pervert and his witch wife, this coven leader wife, who's also a sexual deviant. We want to put these people back in the White House with their Clinton Foundation that's funneled billions of dollars using her emails as a Dropbox to give out national secrets to all kinds of different organizations around the world while they're funneling money into the Clinton Foundation, all under the guise of George Soros and the Rothschild boys. Now we want to put her in the White House. What the heck is wrong with you people who want to vote for Hillary Clinton? Read Roger Stone's book, Clinton's War on Women. These are not nice people. They're not good people. You know, I'm not saying Trump is perfect, but my gosh, he's a choir boy compared to these people. I mean, these are wicked, wicked, wicked people, and they don't belong in the Oval Office, and I will never vote for them. I will never support them on this show. And I cannot believe that Bernie Sanders, who actually spoke the truth about half the time, had some really good ideas some of the time, has gone about now and thrown all of his supporters under the bus and endorsed the Wicked Witch of Washington. Austin, what do you think?
I know. He did. He hacked off a lot of people when he did that. But we already knew he was going to do that, though, because that was pretty much the whole game plan from the beginning. If he couldn't get any type of nomination, he was just going to turn around and support Hillary. And it's interesting. I got an email today from somebody, and it was a video link for some little bit of stuff. I saw the beginning of it, but I didn't have time to watch most of it. And the guy basically asked me, he goes, what happens if you think if Trump is maybe a Trojan horse? What if you think he gets in there and it's not what he says he is? My response was simple to him. I said, he very well may be a Trojan horse, and that will be one of the most efficient, amazing hands that the globalist ever plays, basically tricking the American population. But that doesn't mean for one second that I think there's even a significant possibility that we should even vote for Hillary, even if that concept could be accurate, because there's no way in heck that Hillary is going to be anything better. Even if Trump was a Trojan horse, she would still be worse on a 100 time scale, flat out, period, done, end of discussion. So that was pretty much my thoughts and, you know, response to that is, I mean, that could be. It could have happened. Sure, anything can happen. These globalist boys can get to anybody. Trump's got kids. I mean, let's not fool ourselves with any of this. But quite frankly, from what we've seen him do, what we've seen him support, and what he wants to do, and then what Hillary's done pretty much almost all of her adult life, come on, guys, let's be real about it. Let's stop this whole trying to pick and find every single aspect and every single, you know, thing we can about Trump and say, well, he's done this, or this could possibly happen, or he may get involved in this, and he may do that, so what about this? Yeah, you can speculate all you want. That's all. I mean, everybody can speculate. There's no problem with that. But to sit there and use that as a rebuttal on why we should vote for Hillary or why we shouldn't vote for Trump, that's just a stupid argument that's going to go nowhere. So that's pretty much my stance on that.
Well, no, also think about it. Hillary says basically she talks to Eleanor Roosevelt, you know, the dead person, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Clinton says that she's in Verbindung with Eleanor Roosevelt. I mean, Bill Clinton, she basically says that, you know, Soros is her best buddy. I mean, she's saying all of this stuff. She doesn't go to church. She told Larry Nichols that she was going to this witch's coven all the time in California when they were in the White House. We know she stole a bunch of stuff out of the White House. We know what happened to Vince Foster. We know what happened with her emails. We got all this stuff. There's none of that crap on Donald Trump. He has none of that stuff. And Donald Trump meets with the evangelicals a couple of weeks ago up in New York and tells them basically he's going to support, you know, Second Amendment, and he's going to support, you know, anti-abortion programs. I mean, he's telling the evangelicals he wants to work with them and be part of it. Hillary hasn't met with evangelicals. She doesn't want to do that. So what there's not even a question here. Sure, Trump could be a Trojan horse. Absolutely right. There's no doubt about that. Especially if he puts Newt Gingrich in, because Newt Gingrich will probably take over. They shoot Trump. Okay, got it. Okay. But the whole thing about it is this. You can't put the witch in. Okay? You can't put the witch in. At least Trump's saying that the Trans-Pacific Partnership is a bad deal for the United States. He's saying what he's supposed to say. He's talking the talk and he's walking the walk. So Clinton neither talks the talk nor walks the walk. I mean, there isn't even a reasonable argument here. The reason they don't like Donald Trump, because he's a type A male, and they've been brainwashed into this white privilege nonsense and they believe that all white males are bad. Hey guys, let me give you a newsflash. White males aren't bad. White males are the ones who primarily started the United States of America and helped to fight the battles that took them all to get here. I mean, guys, it's not like white people are just really just horrible people, okay? Got a newsflash for you. And it's not that women have to run the world either, but we all have to work together as a team. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. We're almost out of time. Thank you for getting our newsletters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for listening every day. Man, we get so many emails from you guys. And I want to ask you guys a question. We're thinking about taking a couple of days a week and opening up questions live on the air, live questions. If you want us to start doing that, send us an email for that, and we'll make that happen. If we get enough people want to just start asking questions on the air, kind of like a lot of the other shows do. So guys, we love you. I really do. I really appreciate you guys. I mean, you guys can fulfill my life for what I'm doing on this planet, this hologram that we're in right now. I mean, it really makes me feel good to be here, part of your lives and be part of your families. God bless you guys. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes, we appreciate everything, guys. If you got any questions, email us or call us, healthmasters.com. That was a great show today. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll be back on again tomorrow, same time as always.